All right, quick word about the leadership cohort. We're going to be talking about vision. Vision is like one of the essential things every leader needs. Now, if you're thinking, well, that's great, but I'm not a leader, so I don't need to go, you're wrong. Just putting it out there. We all need vision. We are all going somewhere, but we want to be going somewhere on purpose. That's what vision does for us. It gives us direction. It gives us purpose. So this is going to bless not only if you're a leader, but it's going to bless your life. It's going to bless your future. It's going to bless your family. It's going to make a difference no matter what kind of, well, we all have leadership positions, even if we don't realize it. We have leadership positions in our home, in our communities, all those kinds of things. So if you are thinking, you know what, it's during football. It's really not. It's actually like at the end of the afternoon games and right before the beginning of those games. But if you're just so lined up with football, let me just ask you this. Has watching a football game ever, ever changed your life? Will it make a huge difference whether or not you see that game? The answer, I hope not, because if it does, something's wrong. You've got a dull life. But this will. This leadership cohort is going to make a difference immediately and in the future. And if you doubt me, just show up today and try it once and then make a decision for yourself. But it's going to be great. 4 o'clock, so I hope to see you all there. And it's free, and you get a notebook. Why wouldn't you want to come? All right, good. When you were a kid, how many of you wanted to grow up to be rich? Just be honest. How many of you kind of dreamed, you know, I want to grow up to be rich, all right? How many succeeded? Right? No. How many of you know someone who is rich, that at least that you think is rich, but if you were to ask them if they were rich, they would say no? How many of you know someone like that? You think they're rich, but they would say no, right? If you were to ask me if I was rich, no way. I am not rich, I'm just getting by. I used to work in a place called Granite Bay over there in the Sacramento area. Granite Bay is a rich neighborhood. Granite Bay looks like that. There are rich people who live in Granite Bay, and I knew plenty of people who were rich, but if I were to ask them if they were rich, guess what they'd say? No way, I am just getting by. And I would think to myself, I wish I was just getting by the way you're just getting by. You know, they were getting by at a whole nother level than me. Most of us don't think we're rich. Most of us don't feel rich, and that's a problem. Because when we open up our Bible, we read verses about people who are rich. We read passages written for rich people, but we don't think that part of the Bible is written for us. It's written for somebody else. So, for example, let me show you 1 Timothy 6:17. It's in your bulletin notes. You can pull those out, follow along, and it's up here on the screen. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Now that's good stuff. There is good teaching there. The rich really need to hear that. But not me, because I'm not rich. I can think of people who need to hear that, but it's not for me. So that raises the question of this: who are the rich? Who are the rich? This is a big question because Jesus does more teaching on how to be rich than anything else. He does more teaching on how to be rich than anybody else. And you say, wait a minute. Jesus did not teach about how to get rich. No. He didn't teach on how to get rich, and I'm not going to teach on how to get rich because I obviously don't know how. I'll be teaching on what the Bible has to say about how to be rich. And there's a difference. He didn't tell us how to become rich. He told us how to be rich. So that, again, brings us to that question. What is rich? Where is the line between people who are rich and people who are not rich? Gallup did a survey a few years ago asking Americans what they thought they needed to make a year in order to feel rich. And for those who made about $30,000 a year, their average answer was $74,000. So if those who made $30,000 said, if we made $74,000, we would feel rich. But here's the catch. Those who made $50,000 a year, they said they needed $100,000 a year in order to feel rich. It gets even more interesting than that. They asked the top wage income, the top income earners in the country, how much they felt they needed to feel rich. And they said $5 million. In other words, rich is a moving target. And no matter what you make, rich is somebody who makes more than you. There's always someone who is richer than you. Rich is someone who makes more money than I do. And here's the problem. If we do not feel rich, we are going to put all our time and effort into trying to get rich, and we're never going to learn how to be rich. And being rich is a topic that was so important to Jesus, he talked about it more than any other topic. So that's what I'm going to talk about this week and next week, is what Jesus has to say about how to be rich, but how to be rich in ways that bless others and us and honors God. How to be rich in ways that bless others, us, and God. And there's good news here and there's bad news here. So you ready to fill in the blanks? Here's the good news. The good news is that you are rich. Congratulations. This is good news because it gives you lots of rich people choices. You get to have opportunities for your kids. You get to travel. You got all kinds of choices because you're rich. Congratulations. This is great. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says, "Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, this is a gift of God." Wealth is a gift of God. When we're able to enjoy the wealth we have, this is a gift of God. Remember that, gift of God. We'll come back to that in this series. Now, some of you are thinking, he's not talking about me. My money's just trickling in. I barely have enough money to pay my bills. In fact, I almost could not pay my cable bill this month. I almost could not pay my cell phone bill this month. You're getting where I'm coming from here. I almost couldn't go to Starbucks this week. I'm not rich. But when you look at your life, in comparison to the rest of the world, you're going to have to acknowledge that you're rich. If you were to ask a person from the two-thirds world what rich would look like, if they were to describe a rich person, that might sound like something like this. I heard that in America, everybody there has a car. Side note, do you know how many people in the world own cars? Take a guess, percentage-wise. How many people? 30? 5? 10%. 10% of the people in the world own a car. I hear in America, everybody owns a car. In fact, some families have two cars. And I heard, and I cannot even possibly fathom or believe this, but I have heard, it cannot be true, I heard that people have a house just to put their cars in. And the house for their cars is bigger than my house. And this is really crazy, but I've heard that people have so much stuff that it doesn't fit in their regular house that they have to put it in their car house so their cars have to stay outside. And I've heard that people have a room in their house just for their clothes. And they have so many clothes that they have them on two levels so they could see them all and touch them all and then say, "I don't have a thing to wear." We get to decide what we want to eat. Every one of you got up this morning, got to decide whether you wanted to eat or not. And if you wanted to eat, you got to open up your pantry, you got to open up your refrigerator. You had choices. You got to decide what you wanted to eat. You walk into your closet, you've got choices of what you're going to wear. I bet some of you have a can of food in your closet that you bought and said, "Oh, this looks interesting, we should get that." And it's been sitting there for months. You haven't touched it. We're rich. Most of us have to decide which TV we're going to watch, which couch we're going to sit on to watch the TV. We are rich. I'm rich. you are rich. And this is important, because if you're going to get good at being rich, you first have to admit that you are rich. So I want you to say it together. I am rich. Ready? One, two, three.
I am rich.
Some of you are not convinced. Some of you are not convinced. So let me ask you this way. What percentile in the world of wage earners would you have to be in order to feel rich? If you were in the top 30% of everybody in the world, would you consider yourself rich? If you were in the top 10% of everybody in the world, would you consider yourself rich? There's a website out there, and do not get your phones out and look at it now. Do it after church. There's a website called Global Rich List. When you go there, they give their methodology and everything. They're not making up these numbers. But you can punch in your annual income. It will tell you at what percentile you're in. All right? So you're ready for this. If you make $18,000 a year, you're in the top 5% in the world. If you make $32,000 or more a year, you're a one percenter. And you believe that? You're a one percenter. That 99% that everybody talks about, you're not one of them. If you make more than $32,000, you're in the top 1%. You are rich, but you don't feel rich. Why? Because you live here, right? And you look around, and there's a whole lot of people here who are richer than you. So rich is always something more than what I make. We do not feel rich because we consume everything God has given us. And that's not how to be rich, that's how to be selfish. So that brings us to the bad news. Ready? Next blank. The bad news is you're rich. I know I said that was good news, and it is good news if you know how to be rich. But if you do not know how to be rich, then being rich is bad news, very, very bad news. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus has this encounter with a man who has a lot of stuff. And Jesus tells him, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to let go of your stuff. And that was bad news for the man, because he had a lot of stuff, too much stuff to let go of. Because the more stuff we have, the harder it is to let go of it and follow God. That's the bad news. Can you see what I've got in my hand? Probably in the back, you probably even can't see it. I've got a needle, a sewing needle here in my hand. This is what Jesus said in response to this man who said, I can't let go of my stuff. He said, he looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. All right? So I want to really make this come alive for you. I tried to get a camel. They wouldn't let me bring it into the school grounds. So this is going to have to do. All right? All right? So, Al, go ahead. Just show us how you can stuff this camel through the eye of the needle there. Right? Just go ahead.
No problem.
Yeah. Come on. We don't have all day. It's not going to happen. Right? It's not going to happen. You have this little tiny needle, this eye of a needle. You've got a huge camel. It's never, ever, ever going to fit through. That's the point. It is a ridiculous impossibility, Jesus is saying, for a rich man to go into heaven. Who's rich? We are. You and I are rich. Jesus just told us it's impossible for us to go to heaven. That's the bad news. So I want us to look at this verse again. Instead of where it says the rich, we're going to put me, okay? We're going to read it out loud together just to drive it into our heads. One, two, three. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for me to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for me to enter the kingdom of God. That's bad news. We're rich, and being rich might possibly be our greatest spiritual disadvantage. Here's two reasons why being rich is bad news. First one is this. When you're rich, it's harder to depend on God. It's hard to depend on God when you're rich. We don't need God because we've got all of our stuff. Most of us have never had to pray with, you know, seriously to pray, give us today my daily bread. Because we have not only bread for today, but tomorrow, we've got bread all week long. We've never really seriously had to pray and mean it. Give us today our daily bread. We've got a pantry full of food. Everything's covered. We don't need God. Some of you have 401ks and you've got retirement plans and you've got savings. You can go the rest of your life not needing God because you've got money. Riches are bad news because they become the number one competitor against God for your life, for your devotion, for your heart, for your soul. Satan wants you to serve money rather than God. Satan wants you to see money as being the most important thing in your life, to trust money more than you trust God. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. It's going to be one or it's going to be the other. That's why money's a bad news. It makes us not depend on God. Here's another reason money's bad news. Because money is deceitful. Jesus says in Matthew 13:22 that the deceitfulness of wealth chokes out God's word and it makes us unfruitful. Money promises things it cannot deliver. How many of you have ever said, if I just had a little bit more money, I'd be happy? If I had just a little bit more money, I would have peace. If I had just a little bit more money, we'd have a better marriage. These are things only God can give. Money will never, ever be able to give you those things. It lies to you. It tricks you into thinking it can provide the things only God can provide. It's a lie. We need to understand it. It's a lie. It cannot deliver on the promise. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. That's bad news. I want you to notice something. That verse says, the verse does not say that money is the root of all evil. What does it say? The love of money is the root of all evil. How do we know, though? How do we know if we love money or not? Because if you were to ask me, I don't love money, right? I'm a good Christian. I don't love money. How do we know if we love money or not? So let me give you three red flags, if you will, three questions to ask, three things that kind of like boop, boop, boop. Love money, you love money. First one is this: you never have enough. People who love and trust money never have enough. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This hits close to home for me. I don't know about you, but I don't like what I'm preaching because it hits close to home. Because this could be describing me. Am I satisfied with how much I have? Not really. Not often. I wish I had more. If you're not satisfied with what you have, chances are you love money. And if you're thinking, if I had just a little bit more, I'd be happy. If I had just a little bit more, I'd have a better marriage. If I had just a little bit more, everything would go better. You're being lied to. Second red flag is you have money in the bank, but you still don't have peace. Proverbs 15:16 says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Amen. If you're thinking, if I have enough money in the bank, if I have enough money in my retirement, if I have enough, I'll be secure and everything will be all right with the world and everything will be all right with my future, you've been deceived. I don't know many people who ever think they've got enough saved away. But I do know a lot of people who will tell you you don't have enough to save away, and if you pay them, they'll help you save more. Peace comes from God. It does not come from money. God tells us that we will experience peace not from money, but through thankfulness for what we already have. Peace comes from thankfulness, not from money. So if you have money in the bank but no peace, it's a red flag that you love money. You're trusting money more than you're trusting God. Third red flag, you'll find it increasingly hard to give big. It's simple math. If we don't think we have enough, then we can't give, because if we don't have enough but we give, then we'll have even less. And I already don't think I have enough, so I'm not going to give because then I'll have even less than what I have already. It's really simple math. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. A tithe is 10% of your income. It's an offering of 10%. The word tithe means 10%. Bring the whole 10% into the storehouse. Test me in this. The only place in the Bible where God ever says, test me. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Even though our money says, in God we trust, right? Even though it says, in God we trust, the reality is we tend to trust this more than we trust God, because, well, we need this to pay our bills. We need this to pay for our food. We need this for everything. We're stuck without this. So we tend to trust our money rather than God, forgetting that God is our provider, not our money. What did it say? It's a gift of God. So even though it says God we trust, you'll know it's not God but money you trust if you cannot let go of it and give. If you have a hard time giving, that's a red flag that says you love money more than you love God. It's when we can let go of it that we're saying, okay, I'm putting my trust in God. I'm testing him in this. I want you to get this. This is really important. In fact, if this is all you get from this message, it will be great. Money has power. Money is not neutral. Money has power to either destroy your life or transform your life, depending on whether or not you know how to be rich. Money can destroy your life if you do not know how to be rich the way Bible teaches us. If you do not know how to use money in ways that honor God and bless others. But when you do use money in ways that honor God and bless mothers and others, then it will transform you. God will use it to transform you. Money has power. It's either going to destroy you or transform you, but it's never neutral. It all depends on how you use it. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. That's bad news for all of us. But just like us, you know, his audience was really confused and said, well, if that's true, then who can be saved? Who possibly could be saved? Remember what Jesus' response was. It was this: what's impossible for you is possible for God. It's impossible for you, but it is possible for God. That's the good news. That means it's possible to be rich in ways that honor God, that will bless you and others. It's possible to love God with your riches, to serve God with your riches. Being rich can be bad news, but it can also be good news. It all depends. I want you to listen to what Jesus says in Luke 12:48. He says, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. Did you catch that? When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. We are rich. When someone is rich, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. There's two ways we can read that verse. One way is, oh, that's bad news. Jesus is requiring things of me. He's giving me too great a responsibility. He's making demands on me. What if I don't make the cut? That's one way to look at it. The second way to look at it is as good news. God trusts me enough to give me greater responsibility. God trusts me enough to give me greater wealth so that I can use this wealth in ways that will honor him and serve others and bless my life. I can use this wealth in ways that will build up my faith, in ways that will show how much I trust him. He's giving me the power to serve him. He's entrusting me, not demanding things of me, but trusting me. How do you see it? Money has power. It will destroy your life or transform our lives. It's a spiritual power tool. You know, I've been talking about the importance of Bible study. I've been talking about the importance of prayer for building our faith, how important that is to build a foundation in our lives, to build God's strength into our lives by being in God's Word and being in prayer. And that's all very, very true. That doesn't change a bit. That's like the hammer and nails of any building project is Bible study and prayer. But I want to also suggest to you that money is another thing God uses to build our faith. It's another thing God uses to build a foundation in our lives. It's another thing God uses to allow us to exercise faith and experience him at work in our lives by using money in ways that he calls us to use it. By trusting him and seeing him work, it builds our faith by allowing us to see him work. It's a spiritual power tool that can transform our lives, our faith, our character, so that we experience more of his life. And it's his life in us that makes our lives rich. This will never make our lives rich. His life in us is what makes our lives rich, and we can build that life by how we use this. So that's what I want you to get. Money has power, and it's a tool God uses to build your faith, to build your character, to build your relationship with him. Have you ever thought about it that way? It's powerful. It's incredible. It all comes down to knowing how to be rich, and knowing how to be rich starts with admitting that we are rich. And I hope I've convinced you this morning that we already are rich. If we don't realize this, we'll be putting all our efforts into trying to get rich rather than learning how to be rich. Then we need to realize, after we realize we are rich, realize that money does have power. It can transform us. We can't be casual with it. We cannot be careless with it. It's a powerful tool. It will bless us with a rich life. It will bless us. Well, let me put it this way. If we use money in the ways God desires, it will bless us with a rich life rather than a life of riches. See the difference? There's a difference between having a rich life and having a life of riches, which might not be a rich life at all. All depends on how we use money. So, I want you to ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself, have I been deceived? Have I been tricked by money? So question number one is this. Am I trusting money for my happiness and security? If you are, you're being deceived. Question number two. Am I spending more time building my bankroll than building my life with God? Are you spending more time trying to make money than you're spending building a relationship with God? Question number three, am I consuming all I have? Because that's not how to be rich. That's how to be selfish. Now, if you were to ask me, do I love money? There's honestly times that I have to admit, yeah, I think I would feel more secure if I had money or more money. It's deceiving. It deceives you. It deceives me. So who here wants to break the deceitfulness of wealth, the deceitfulness of money, so that we start trusting God and using money rather than trusting money and trying to use God? If you want to break from the deceitfulness of wealth, I have a prayer there in your bulletin. It's up here on the screen as well. I'd like us to pray this out loud. Now, when I say pray out loud, this is not something you have to do. I'm not forcing you to do it. Don't feel embarrassed if you don't want to do it. That's just fine. But if you feel like, yeah, this is a prayer I can sincerely pray, I'd like us to pray it, all those who are ready to. And if you're not ready to, that's fine. But all those who are ready to, let's pray it out loud. God, you are my provider. I will no longer be deceived by wealth, thinking it will make me happier and more secure because that's a promise only you can make. I will not seek meaning in the things of this world. I'll only seek it from you, the one who gives life. That's how to be rich. God, set me free from the deceitfulness of wealth. Set me free from the love of money so that I may seek you first in everything, every time, everywhere, in every way. Amen. And God, as we lift up these prayers to you, may we recognize those times where we are putting more trust in money than we are in you. May we recognize the red flags and the danger signs. May we recognize when we're afraid to let go. You said to the man who was afraid to let go that it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven because it's hard to let go. So train us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to use the way in which we give as a way of breaking trust with money and putting trust in you. We're going to test you in this and look to see how you will open up the storehouses of heaven to fill our lives with the richness of your life and not just the richness of money. Amen. I want to share a couple things with you real quick. We're going to take our offering in just a moment so you can prepare for that. But just kind of share with you what's going to be coming down the road here. We've talked to you about Trunk or Treat. We've talked and talked and talked. So I'm not going to say anything more other than, if you haven't signed up yet, what's wrong with you? All right, those flyers that Peter showed you are going out. They're being passed out in the schools. There is a huge crowd that's going to show up at the park, and it would be embarrassing if we didn't show up. I'm just saying. We have this incredible opportunity to see God at work. You have this incredible opportunity to see God at work. Don't miss it. So I hope you go before you leave and sign up for all that. That would be great. But what we're going to do at Trunk or Treat is, Peter talked about those little business cards, but beyond that, we're going to give everybody a postcard. The postcard is going to invite them back to a Christmas event we're going to do in December, where it'll be like a parents' night out, only it'll be in the afternoon. So we're calling it a parents' timeout. But they can come and bring their kids, and we're going to have crafts and games and cookie decorating and all those kinds of things for them for 2 hours. Just another chance to touch them, another chance to get them connected to our lives. So they'll be getting a postcard that invites them back to that, as well as to the new message series we're going to start in November called Relationships Are Messy. Amen to that? So we're going to do a series, Relationships Are Messy, hopefully as another way to just kind of grab a hold of them and say, come on back, hear what God has to say, the difference he can make in your life. So those are the kinds of things that are happening. Be praying for that. Be involved in that. It's going to be wonderful. This is how your offerings are being used, to build faith in you and to share faith with our community. All right, this afternoon, 4 o'clock at the Evolve Aikido Center on Auto Center Drive. Leadership cohort, hope to see you all there. Sign up for Trunk or Treat. It's going to be a fantastic thing. We're going to see God do marvelous things as well. As God has blessed you this morning, as God blesses you each and every day, share that blessing and be a blessing to others. Thank you for coming.